Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
Now, let's turn our attention to the reading of God's Word. Please turn to 1 Peter 4:10. It can be found on pages 1016 in your pew Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, please take one. It's our gift to you. If you're online and you want a Bible, just contact us. We'll send them to you. And Eddie is going to come up and read the word.
As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him being glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. All right, and then if I can pray for us. Dear God, thank you so much for providing this opportunity for us to all gather here in your name and to worship you. We are so grateful for everything that you provide for us, and I pray that you will bless Bobby here and speak through him clearly, and that you will bless our ears so that we can take the message and apply it to our lives and listen carefully. In your name I pray, amen.
Go ahead and be seated. Well, good morning. How are we doing this morning? I'm good, thank you. All right, so my name is Bobby. I'm one of the pastors here. I get the opportunity to preach God's word this morning. Thanks to Dana for filling in. Randy was sick today, so he had to fill in last minute. So Dana, thank you for that. And doing those amazing announcements, let's give him a hand. All right, we are in a series right now called Gift, where we are exploring spiritual gifts. The interesting thing about this one is most of the sermon series is for Christians. It's a Christian maturity type thing to be able to understand what spiritual gifts are. And so if you're here and you're not a Christian, or if you're exploring Christianity, it's a good sermon for you to be able to kind of look in on what Christianity is, how Christians are supposed to act, behave, what are some of the benefits of becoming a Christian, these types of things. But just know there'll be an invitation at the end for you to become a Christian. That would be the hope. In the process, though, you're welcome to come here and explore the claims of Christianity for as long as you would like. My goal and prayer for this series is to teach a biblically balanced view of spiritual gifts while empowering you to find and live into yours, to use them, to use it to the glory of God and your joy. Amen? Yeah. How using your gifts aligns with purpose and joy that comes from it. The interesting thing is that so when you find and kind of know your spiritual gift, well, let me ask you a question. That was meant to be a question. I'll rephrase it. Have you ever felt like you're just right where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do? You get glimpses of that, right? Where it's just like in these moments of time where you just kind of go, wow, I feel in touch with my purpose and what God has for me and these types of things. Like that is what I want for us as a church. And a part of that for you as individuals and then us collectively as a church, it's to kind of know that purpose. Like, what's my purpose within the body of Christ? Well, God, Jesus, when Jesus came, lived, died, rose for us, and we place our faith in the fact that he died for our sins, for my sins and yours, and then rose again from the third day, he sends us the Holy Spirit, also known as the Helper. I will send you another helper, Jesus says. So he ascends to heaven, the church comes together and prays, and then the Holy Spirit comes and fills up the believers. And in doing so, he gives us gifts. He gives us gifts. Now, our context of 1 Peter is this. He's writing to a group of churches, giving encouragement to keep on keeping on while keeping the main thing the main thing. Okay? To keep on keeping on while keeping the main thing the main thing. You see 1 Peter in the very beginning, 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5. Again, this is just our context. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for who? For you, for those who believe, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." And so this is our context. Is 1 Peter is encouraging Christians to keep the main thing, which is Jesus. Jesus Christ being the main thing, and to keep on keeping on, because sometimes it's not always so easy. Like, that's the context. So what he does is he starts with these, what we call indicatives or truths. He starts with these amazing truths about us. Look at some of those truths that are in there. That we're blessed be God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. That means we have a living hope because he rose from the dead. And we have an inheritance that it will never fade, it will never get old, it will never be like, I just want the new iPhone. It will always be awesome. Unfading. Never have to get old. Man, this morning I felt that. Getting old sucks. Anybody? Man, come on, somebody. But in heaven, we just won't have that. Our house won't get old. Our age won't get old. We're unfading. And it's kept in heaven for us. By God's power, being guarded. There's so much amazing truth. That by God's power, we are being guarded through faith for a salvation. In other words, our destination is set. These Bible truths lead and motivate us to live a certain way, like Jesus. You'll find that all throughout Scripture, as you have these amazing truths set forth in Scripture, and then you kind of see what's known as imperatives. In other words, because of these truths, it's imperative that you live this way, or the commands of Scripture would be an easy way to say that. Look at hopefully you're in 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 8 and 9. You'll see as he transitions from these amazing truths, still having truths within it, but then he goes into the commands of what this life looks like as Christians. Chapter 4, verse 8 says this, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." So the command is, keep loving one another earnestly, honestly, because we know that love covers a multitude of sins. Gives us the ability to show grace. Verse 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. So we're supposed to be nice and show hospitality without complaining about one another. I think that's for some of us. And then he says, as each has received a gift into our text this morning, use it to serve one another. And so I'm going to break some of this down because there's so much packed just in verse 10. As each has received a gift. So the first thing that we see is that if you are a Christian, you have received a gift. I looked up each one in the Greek, and it means everyone. There you go. So if you are a believer, if the truths in the beginning of 1 Peter are about you, then that means you have received a gift. Everyone has received. Now, received means to receive or accept an object or benefit for which the initiative rests with the giver. I love that. So packed in this small little word, receive, God initiates the gift. And then it goes on to say, but the focus of attention is the transfer upon the receiver. So each one has received a gift. Now being received, we're called to take hold of that gift. And then we see, okay, so now each has received a gift. Is that a truth or a command? Truth, right? Like, it's just about us. It's something that's said and stated. It's God's word and it's true. But then look at the next verse, or the next part of the verse. Use it. Use it. Is that a command or truth? It's a command. So not only have you received the gift, you're now commanded to use it. And hopefully, hopefully, we, as we walk through this, see that one, we have the gift and we're called to use it. How are we called to use it? To serve one another. That's how we're called to use it, to serve one another. The gift that you have given was given to you, but it's about others. It's about others as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now we see a good steward is one who has authority and responsibility for something. That's a definition of steward. So you have authority from God and a responsibility to use the gift that God has given you to serve one another. In other words, you use it to the glory of God and your joy. It's important to understand this. You see, God, through Jesus, saved us from our sin to the church. In other words, we go from sin to the church. Now, it's used in the terminology for the church is the people of God. It's not the building, it's the people. And those people are placed into what the analogy is a body. And the body, if you think about just human anatomy, the way this whole body works and like how my mind is telling my fingers to move and all the energy that it takes for that to actually happen right there, we are the body of Christ. And for us to be a healthy body, we're called to step in and serve one another. And so that we're not just crawling, we're not just stumbling, we're not just walking, but we're running to fulfill the purpose that God has granted for us. But for that to happen, all of us pulling together need to be the body of Christ, to know your gifts and to be able to use them accordingly. Now, verse 11 says, whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. And so what Peter does here is instead of listing the gifts like Paul does in some areas, he basically categorizes them in two different gifts. Like kind of umbrella over the various gifts that are listed in Scripture. And the one I want to focus on is speaking gifts. Is speaking gifts. We're going to talk about teaching, exhortation, and the word of wisdom and knowledge. You'll notice that tongues isn't on there because we're going to save that to the very end just to keep you guys waiting around. But we will talk about it. Teaching, exhortation, and the word of wisdom and knowledge. Now, it says here in verse 11 that whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. And it's kind of misleading because the oracle sounds really more important than it is. Really, oracle simply means a message, the messages of God. Now, what we do in our speaking gifts, whether you have the gift of teaching, exhortation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, these different types of gifts, we speak the message of God. We don't speak our own message. We speak God's. So number one, teaching. We're all called to teach, but some have a gift to do so, an ability beyond themselves to teach, as the text says, to the glory of God. Now, just a simple example is me, Eddie, Vinny, and Silas went to Old Town Coffee, and we were playing pool at Old Town Coffee. They have amazing pool tables there. Having coffee, and what we're doing there is twofold. We're playing pool and we're talking about evangelism. And what we ended up doing in that conversation is the question was, hey, I don't know how to share the gospel that well. And I was like, okay, well, what is the gospel? Let's start there. And so we kind of fumbled through that a little bit and we got through to the other side of what the gospel actually is. And it's like, okay, well, how would you communicate it? And then it was pretty awesome. He's like, well, I'm gonna be an evolutionist and I'm gonna try to prove you wrong as a Christian. And so we went back and forth right there. And I was able to share the gospel with Eddie, who was pretending to be an evolutionist. It was actually pretty cool. And just in case you're curious, I won the debate. No, I'm just kidding. But then Silas tried it. And we went through, and he did a phenomenal job sharing the gospel to someone who basically thinks, I don't need Jesus. Like, my whole life's together. And Vinny did an awesome job at pretending to be that kind of party guy that doesn't need anything. And he was able to then, in that moment, Silas came and shared. Now, what we're doing in that is we're teaching each other. We're showing each other what it looks like to share the gospel, learning from one another. And so in that moment, not only did we teach about the gospel and have that opportunity, but we also taught them how to play pool because Silas and I are really good at it and they were not. And so I'm just stating facts. See, discipleship involves words. I know that seems super simplistic, but I just want to state it just in case we're not sure. There's famous statements out there that are like, I preach the gospel with my life. You know, like that, those kind of like grandiose statements of like, yes, we're called to live, absolutely, because our life backs up our words, but we're still called to use words to speak and teach into people's lives. And we're all called to this. We're all called to teach. We do it as parents. We teach our kids, show our kids. We do it as husbands and wives. My wife will teach me something. I'll teach her something. We're constantly teaching. And the gift that's talking about here is talking about teachers of the Word of God. Fred has this gift. Fred was here this morning, but he was too sick to come last week. He's been teaching. Let's see. I asked him this morning how long he's been teaching Sunday school at this church, and I quote, he said, or one of the ladies said, forever. And at 9 a.m. in the fellowship hall right over here, Fred faithfully teaches through the Bible. Check this out. This is Fred's. These are biblical maps. You got all the way from like the way back in the time of Exodus, all the way to New Testament maps, all the way through. And Fred comes and he prepares every single week and teaches the history behind the text and shows a different, like what does that then mean within the text? And right now they're walking through Exodus, right? Walking through Exodus. And he has a gift of teaching. And so if you want to see this gift in use, 9 a.m. in the fellowship hall and just learn from Fred. He's amazing. He's been doing it longer than I've been alive, I believe. Yeah, he's been serving at this church since 1968. I was born in 1971. Don't do the math on that. You don't need to know how old I am. But the bottom line is he literally has been here at this church longer than I've been alive. Teaching, developing his gift, being a good steward of God's very grace. And then because of that, increasing the potential of people that come and listen to his teaching. Not only that, you can see the joy in his life. He was here this morning teaching. Okay, let me just share how amazing this is. He shouldn't have been out of bed. He's at that age where he just recently had to go to the hospital, and just last Sunday they had to cancel Sunday school because he was unable to come. He was sick, and just old age is getting to him. But he faithfully came this morning. That's why he's not here. He was just too tired. I even told him, I'm like, Fred, I'm going to talk a lot about you today. You sure you don't want to come? I'm going to talk you up a little bit. And he like just said, I don't know if I can make it. So, and that's okay. And that's okay. I'm glad and grateful for his faithful teaching, for him using the gift that God has given him to the glory of God and his joy. And he faithfully teaches. And I'm going to put these maps away. You have to go to his class to see him. And he'll just continue to walk through. Show up any Sunday at 9 a.m. and go check that out. You can also see this at our community groups that we have. And so if you're interested in joining a community group, talk to one of our leaders or me afterwards, and we'll set you up with a community group. Now, I would say this, though. The gift of teaching we see by example all throughout Scripture. But there is one thing very specific that the Bible teaches about teaching. It's up here on James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. This is because we are called to not go beyond what is written. See, God has given us authority and responsibility to teach the Word of God. And some of us are gifted, like I said, beyond our ability. But again, we're all called. Make sure when you teach that it's from the Word of God. It's from the Word of God. Knowing that when you teach, you're going to be graded with a strict, there's not going to be a curve, it's going to be the other way. It's going to be harder. Because God takes His Word seriously. One of the things that we see in the Old Testament that, you know, you want to think about God being angry, it's people speaking on behalf of God something that God didn't tell them to say. We are called to do the same in so much as not go beyond what is written. Now, there's wisdom that's not directly in Scripture, and we share it as such. I guess what I'm saying is we don't just walk around quoting the Bible, quoting Scripture. We could, but it's not like our whole conversations have to be for God to love the Word. You guys with me? Like, we're able to teach wisdom. I do it pretty much every Sunday when I'm preaching right now. I'm not just quoting God's Word, but I'm preaching from the text, preaching from the Bible. And when I give you my opinion, I tell you as such. I had a great conversation recently about Christian dating. And much of it was in the context of things I've learned, mostly the hard way. And I was testifying of that. But while teaching, I tried to make it clear when the Bible was clear about something that I was clear on it. And when the Bible was unclear about it, I was unclear about it. But I just began to then share my life. And it was just that. In other words, teaching doesn't mean we walk around just only quoting Scripture. But it doesn't go beyond or outside what is written. And we're called to use it to the glory of God and our joy. Now, number two, exhortation. This is the same word as encouragement. Did you guys know that? The gift of encouragement and the gift of exhortation, it's the same one. It's just different translations of the Bible. Isn't that crazy? Does that just blow your mind? It kind of blew my mind a little bit because it's like exhortations, no? Exhortation is usually like, I don't know, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but the people with the gift of exhortation that I've known are usually kind of jerks for Jesus. They step on some toes. In other words, they're just kind of harsh. They just kind of like, they exhort you, and a lot of times you don't like it, right? Like, who loves to be rebuked? Like, told that you were just wrong. Who, anyone? Yeah, there should be some of you, because the Bible says you're wise if you do. Oh, I see some hands go up. I got you. But it's interesting to me that the gift of exhortation is the same gift. Exhortation and or encouragement. It means, the Greek word means, to cause someone to be encouraged, consoled, either by verbal or nonverbal means. So in other words, the gift of encouragement or exhortation can also be by coming up alongside and helping and serving. The Greek word is closely related to a title for the Holy Spirit. When Jesus says he will send us a helper, the word is paraclete. It's a very similar word when we talk about the gift of encouragement or exhortation. The person who has this gift comes alongside people, increases their potential, and builds them up, makes them feel lighter about whatever they are facing. Barnabas, whose real name was Joseph, is a great person to study to see if you have this gift. Just do a person study throughout Scripture and learn about Barnabas, because they literally changed his name to Barnabas. It was Joseph, which Barnabas means the son of encouragement. And I would say that Rick, who's traveling with his family right now, has this gift with me. He's continually coming alongside and helping me. He's coming alongside me and encouraging me. And and some of us just have this gift to be able to come alongside somebody and lift the other person up, that you could use it to the glory of God and your joy. And sometimes it's not always just, and I love that it's encouragement and exhortation. It's not, it always doesn't have to be flowery, right? It doesn't always have to be, like, I remember some of the most times I learned as a young Christian, I was living with the guy who discipled me. We helped plant a church, and we moved from Hawaii to Vegas. That's a whole other story, and we planted a church together. But, man, we used to just walk around beating each other up. Like, he'd come up and be like, hey, man, did you finish that book? You said you'd be done with it by now. I'd be like, I'm almost done. He'd be like, hey, man, you broke your word. Your yes be yes, and your no be no, right? Like, what's up with that? Okay, man, I'm sorry. I'd be like, yeah, well, you... didn't return the other book I gave you. Like, we didn't. I was just a young kid. Like, I was trying to figure this out. And I learned it. But here's the crazy thing. I learned a ton from that man. And I'm forever grateful for him speaking into my life. I don't recommend the method by which he used. But I do love the courage that he loved me enough to tell me. See how that works? Sometimes we just need to be told. Like, hey, teaching isn't your gift. Like, can you imagine if someone had the, like, you come up, you're like, man, I want to be, God bless you, I want to be like Pastor Bobby, right? Like, I want to learn how to preach and teach. And then you go up to teach, and it was like, oops, that's okay. But no one has the courage to say, hey, you might not have that gift. Sometimes the gift of encouragement or exhortation is telling the truth. And sometimes I'm not so desirous to hear truth. But nevertheless, we are called to encourage and exhort one another. And some have the ability to be able to do this beyond themselves. We see that in Barnabas. I see it in Rick continuously. And we're called to use it to the glory of God and your joy. Now, this last two, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, they're listed in, skip down to 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 8. Oh, there it is. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Now, this is an interesting gift because what we see is there's just not a ton of information about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. So I'm going to read some things from one of the books that I've been studying from. It says, we face a problem from the outset in our efforts to understand the spiritual gifts of word of knowledge and word of wisdom. The problem is that neither Paul nor any other New Testament author ever bothered to define them. Although the terms knowledge and wisdom both appear frequently in 1 Corinthians and in other New Testament letters, the only place where the word of knowledge and word of wisdom occurs is in 1 Corinthians 12, 8. So it does beg the question, what are these gifts? What are these gifts? Because ultimately we're assuming, and we are in danger of going beyond the text if we're not careful, beyond what is written. There are some biblical insights, like we're assuming that Jesus had the gift of knowledge and the gift of, or the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And utterance mean in there means word. So it's word of wisdom or word of knowledge. In other words, you are speaking. It's not just walking around with wisdom like you're a wise guy or you're very knowledgeable about something, but it's speaking to another wisdom and or knowledge. We see, for instance, Jesus. He in Matthew 9, he knowing their thoughts. We see that multiple times in Matthew and in Luke. Jesus also portrayed knowing the thoughts of his own disciples. It says, but Jesus knowing the reasoning of their hearts. And so is that the gift of knowledge? To be able to look into somebody and kind of know what they're thinking, or is that prophecy? We also see that, could it have been the gift of wisdom and knowledge when Peter and Ananias and Sapphira, was that a word of knowledge? In other words, people are, basically this couple lied about their property, and Peter called them out on it without any previous, just the Holy Spirit came over Peter and he said, you've not lied to men, but you've lied to God, right? And they die on the spot, which is pretty gnarly. Like if you've read the story, it's in Acts chapter 8, or no, where did it go? I forget where it's at. Anyway, it's in Acts. Look, find me afterwards and I'll point it to you. But we see this, so was that the gift of knowledge? Now, or in wisdom. We also see this, I'm just going to read this paragraph because it's phenomenal. The customary Pentecostal charismatic third wave understanding of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge is that they refer respectively to the articulation of revelatory insight into the how, which is wisdom, and what, which is knowledge of a person's life. The word of wisdom, so it has been said, pertains to instruction, and the word of knowledge pertains to information. Okay, so that sounds pretty good, right? Like you're getting an actual insight to somebody's life, and you see that the gift of wisdom would be how, and knowledge would be what. So in other words, wisdom would be to give the person instruction beyond your own understanding, like God-given instruction, and then the word of knowledge would be for the information. But then it goes on to say, but in view of Paul's use of the terms word, wisdom, and knowledge elsewhere in 1 Corinthians, we may need to be more cautious and less dogmatic in how we define these gifts. And then it asks the question, it ends this, that chapter of the word of wisdom and knowledge says, in light of what we've seen, how would you classify or describe the following examples? Because they are listed as gifts. So it does beg the question, what are these gifts? And I think that it's important to say, we're not sure. In other words, it's not as when the Bible's ambiguous, what are we called to be? Ambiguous. But we see examples and it's possible. So then we say, hey, it's possible that. And I've seen this gift in my life. So I'll just testify. There's been times when I've been in counseling that I have an ability to be able to see in the heart of somebody what's going on in their lives. And to and then to know kind of how to go from there. So some would say the gift of wisdom and knowledge. I don't know. Did I develop that over time being a biblical counselor? Possibly. But it sure feels beyond me. It sure feels spirit-filled. Some sort of, because I know this, whether it be the gift of encouragement, the gift of teaching, all the gifts are supernatural. Not just miracles and prophecy and tongues and all these different things. All the gifts are supernatural, including encouragement. If you have the gift of encouragement, it's beyond you. God's working through you to do this. And the same with the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. I remember praying for somebody one time at a church. As I'm praying for them, I was revealed that what they needed to do in the moment, and I didn't even know the situation. So I just spoke that into his life. And you know what's crazy? Even though that word was spoken to his life, he didn't listen. He ended up losing his business. I'm not trying to put fear in you, like this powerful spiritual man. I'm just saying, like, that could be that gift. But here's what we know for sure. We're not sure. But wouldn't it be cool if you had this gift? To be able to have wisdom beyond yourselves and speak it into somebody's life. To be able to have knowledge of what's going on in somebody's life and be able to speak that knowledge and give instruction. And so here's what we're called to do. We're called to pray for these types of gifts and pursue what these gifts look like within your life. Who knows? You may have this gift. There may be like this great calling on your life that because you've never really been educated in the spiritual gifts and you've never been challenged to take the step to use those gifts, maybe that's why sometimes the Christian life just feels so dull. And so let's use them to the glory of God and our joy. That was my main point. Use it. It's right out of the text. You've been given a gift. What are you called to do? Let's try this side. You've been given a gift. What are you called to do? Use it to the glory of God and your joy. That then brings back around to that idea of purpose and centeredness and that understanding that when all things seem to be as they ought to be, we get to experience that as Christians to the glory of God and our joy. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. I could have the band come up as well and the leaders prepare for communion. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your spirit and reveal to us the gift that you've given us, that maybe we may walk in that gift and that it would be to your glory and our joy. We could use it to serve one another. To you, all the glory and dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. All right, so we have communion on either side, on the right and the left. If you're a guest here, the communion tables are over here. There'll be leaders there to administer to it. The bread represents the body broken. The juice represents the blood spilled. And what we do is when we take it, we proclaim the sufficiency that Christ's death was enough. Amen? You guys with me? All right. Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, there's no reason for you to proclaim it, so we'd ask that you wouldn't take it. But man, what a great day to become a Christian. On a sermon about spiritual gifts, that would be a testimony. And so if you're here and You want to come back to Christ? Come to the table and talk to one of these leaders. Come and talk to me. I would love to talk to you about what it would look like to become a Christian or return back to Jesus this morning. And in the meantime, we have two songs. We're going to worship together and sing. Take communion whenever you're ready.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.